Hey guys, hope you're having a great Thanksgiving Day weekend. We wanted to give you an Ask Me Anything episode. You guys have been demanding it, so here we go. Any question that gets answered, you guys get a signed copy of the New York Times bestseller, The MAGA Doctrine, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, start a chapter, get engaged, get involved with tpusa.com, tpusa.com, Turning Point USA. We talk about all sorts of things, such as, is it time to disobey? And what does it mean to actually civilly disobey? We talk about, would I rather time travel in the past or to the future, and so much more. These are your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, that we answer. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised and harvested meat to the families across the country. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners directly with only American ranches from across the United States to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. Have the best Thanksgiving and Christmas ever with Good Ranchers free hickory, honey, holiday ham. Every new subscription gets a Berkshire Hickory Honey Smoked Ham for free. Our Berkshire hams are 100% no antibiotics ever, 100% hormone-free, 100% born and raised in America. Hands down, the best ham you will ever eat. Berkshire pork, which is a heritage breed, is known as the world's best pork. And as always, Good Ranchers is 100% American beef and chicken, and now pork. Steaks are always USDA choice and higher. And chicken is 100% all natural, no hormones added ever. Give the gift of steak and free hams this holiday season. Go to GoodRanchers.com. Get 100% American-raised beef right to your door. Beef the way it used to be. Get America's best grass-fed grain. Finished beef delivered straight to your door. It is GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. Get 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken at GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this Ask Me Anything episode here on the Charlie Kirk Show. It's been a couple weeks since we have done one of these, mostly because we have been on top of the election coverage, the exposing of fraud, and all the questions that are around what exactly happened on election night and the days that have followed. We have been on top of that story more so than almost any other podcast, program, activist, relentlessly searching for the truth and covering all of the discrepancies and the irregularities. But I want to get back into answering questions from you guys because that's the most fun. And that's where I really feel like we have a connection. And so this is an Ask Me Anything episode for all of you that have just started listening to us and have not really listened to one of these before. If I select your question, then you get a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. These questions are all selected by those of you that have emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's get Gene's question, who says, can you explain what you mean by civil disobedience, how we should practice that, and how is it different than what the left is constantly engaged in? It's a phenomenal question. So civil disobedience is the act of defiance intentionally against government orders to prove a bigger point around injustice. This was first theorized and put into writing in America by a man by the name of Henry David Thoreau. He was a transcendentalist. For those of you that are in literature class in college, many of you are not even learning about Henry David Thoreau because he was actually in a lot of different ways a pro-liberty, pro-individual author and writer. It was a series of essays under a header, Resistance to Civil Government, Civil Disobedience. It was published in 1849. And Thoreau basically was arguing that governments should not be able to tyrannically rule the citizenry. Now, in Greece, citizen meant co-ruler, meaning that we have as just as much say in the process and in the implementation of how government works as a politician or as an autocrat does. And so Henry David Thoreau argued that people have a duty to civilly disobey their government when their natural rights are violated. Now, I encourage all of you to check out this essay, Civil Disobedience. It's one of the most influential pieces of writing in American history. Henry David Thoreau also wrote Walden. He wrote Hearts of Freedom and many other amazing pieces of literature that highly influenced the Transcendentalist movement in this country. Now, his influences were, of course, mostly Gandhi and Martin Luther King. Those are the two most famous people that employed the writings and the philosophy of Henry David Thoreau. Of course, Gandhi in India, he was very impressed by Thoreau's arguments. And he in India implemented massive pieces of resistance. And part of civil disobedience is being willing to accept the punishment for the crime, not fleeing, not trying to be physically or violently in retaliation against tyranny, but instead accepting punishment. Martin Luther King was also very influenced by Henry David Thoreau. He wrote this in his autobiography. During my student days, I read Henry David Thoreau's essay on civil disobedience for the first term. Here, in this courageous New Englander's refusal to pay his taxes and his choice of jail rather than support a war that would spread slavery throughout Mexico, I made my first contact with the theory of nonviolent resistance. Fascinated by the idea of refusing to cooperate with an evil system, I was so deeply moved that I reread the work several times. Martin Luther King Jr. continued by saying, I became convinced that non-cooperation with evil is as such a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. No other person has a more eloquent and passionate in getting this idea across than Henry David Thoreau. As a result of his writings and personal witness, we are heirs of a legacy of creative protest. The teachings of Thoreau came alive in our civil rights movement. Indeed, they are more alive than ever before, whether expressed in a sit-in lunch counters, a freedom ride into Mississippi, a peaceful protest in Albany, Georgia, a bus boycott in Montgomery, Alabama. These are outgrowths of Thoreau's insistence that evil must be resisted and that no moral man can patiently adjust to injustice. The autobiography of Martin Luther King Jr. Now, here's where the left does not employ the tactics of Henry David Thoreau. Never did Henry David Thoreau argue for violent riots or physical destruction of the world around us. Never did Henry David Thoreau support masked vigilantes, criminals, and thugs burning down downtown Portland, Minneapolis, or urban metropolises. Instead, Henry David Thoreau would say, you're mad about racial injustice? Okay. Then you should peacefully disobey and be willing to accept the consequence of it, not protest it, not claim that you're innocent like many of the people on the left do, but instead be willing to pay a criminal price. Now, so I am calling for the largest act of civil disobedience against our government since the civil rights era in defiance to these draconian anti-science lockdowns. And incredibly, these conversations around the Chinese coronavirus happen in waves. I thought that we were done with this back in June, then it came back in July. I thought we were done with this again, and now we are here again, where I have to remind people that the left does not follow the science, they follow the scientists that they like. That Democrats are using the lockdown as a gateway drug to the Great Reset. That Democrats are using lockdowns as a draconian one-size-fits-all measure to punish small businesses, to evaporate the muscular class, usher in mandatory vaccinations, open borders, China appeasement, gun confiscation, and the shredding of the United States Constitution. The only thing that will prevent the left, the central planners, and the statists from implementing this radical reset is civil disobedience and reopening our country immediately. If we reopen our country, reopen our schools, reopen our businesses, capital flows will intensify, money velocity will increase, and a return to normal will happen quicker than the central planners would be comfortable with, and all of a sudden their plans would be thwarted. And let me be very clear. It is not the role of government, especially when we know how this virus acts epidemiologically, to start coming in and saying, I know what is best for your life and for what you are doing when it comes to the spread of a virus. That is not the role of government. Instead, government should be coming in and educating the population based on all available data, providing testing where necessary if people so choose, and say, I trust your right to make stupid decisions or make good decisions. Go forth and try your best. And if people decide to still do mass gatherings, if people decide to still congregate, then that's on them. And yet, even with that, judges are saying that strip clubs and casinos are more essential than churches. Why? Because strip clubs and casinos pander to the base of the Democrat Party. If church can go virtual, why can't strip clubs go virtual? Cannabis dispensaries and abortion factories have remained open, yet churches shuttered and closed. We put infected and sick patients in nursing home wards, but we decided to close our schools. More young people died of suicide than of the Chinese coronavirus in the state of California. The human cost of lockdowns is absolutely unacceptable. And yet, we conveniently ignore that the WHO on October 13th issued a warning about lockdowns, where they said lockdowns have a very serious human cost. They came out against lockdowns. They warned against lockdowns due to extreme economic costs and damage. Lockdowns are the dumbest, draconian, epidemiological idea in the history of Western civilization. It is surrendering to the virus. Instead of being brave and being wise, it's being cowardly and being sloppy. We know the human cost of lockdowns. We know the suicides, the mental health, the domestic abuse, the spousal abuse, the sexual abuse. And so that is why I am calling for every single human being that is listening to this to start breaking the rules. Now, when I say that, I don't say that lightly. All acts of civil disobedience must be done prayerfully, carefully, rarely, intentionally, and publicly. If you are going to break the rules, you must be willing to take the punishment. So that is why I have said everywhere that I go and speak, come arrest me. I am willing to go serve the jail time for this moral good. At Turning Point USA, we remain with our doors wide open. We are going to have the Turning Point USA Student Action Summit unless police officers prevent us from doing that. Arrest us. That's how serious this is. And we are willing to pay the price. Pastor Rob McCoy, who has kept his church open since May, he has said, arrest me. And he really means it. Pastor Greg Farrington from Destiny Church in Rockland, California, on Pentecost, he said, arrest me. They didn't, but he meant it. A core aspect of civil disobedience is showing the tyrants and the autocrats that you are willing to go all the way because they can't arrest all of us. When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. HR manager salaries are never cheap, and they're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambee, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time in HR compliance. Let Bambee help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambee.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/Kirk. Spell BAM to the BEE.com/Kirk. So if you're listening to this and you say, what does it mean for me? If you own a small business, open it no matter where you are. If you go to a church that is not open, ask the pastor why. If they tell you a half-baked political answer, find a new church. Find a church that is open and reward the good guys. It is now time that we defiantly push back against this moral injustice that has plagued this country, that is lockdowns. If we don't, then the great reset that has been talked about in the World Economic Forum of mandatory vaccinations, of open borders, the destruction of America, the erosion of any sort of sovereignty will happen quicker than you can imagine. The lockdowns, as Justin Trudeau said, is the greatest opportunity to bring in a new world order. Let's play tape of Justin Trudeau saying exactly that. Play tape.
Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 agenda for sustainable development and the SDGs. Canada is here to listen and to help. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Don't believe me on the New World Order part? Play tape of Lori Lightfoot literally saying New World Order. Play tape.
With the executive branch, because otherwise it doesn't work. So you got to eliminate that compliance and you make it a mandate. And then you do training, particularly in the city, I'll call them licensing departments, whether it's zoning, buildings, housing will be impacted by it, planning certainly. And you pick the people that run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the new world order and good governance. And then I think you have the inspector general do some spot audits to make sure that
these politicians are half-baked philosophers that got lost in some form of a social justice warrior training camp in college and never left. They have never worked with their hands. They have never started the business. They've never had to make payroll. They never had to fire anyone. These people are bureaucrat civil servants that now are playing games with real people's lives. Everyone disobey them now. It's that simple. And be willing to go to jail. And if you say, I don't know, jail's too much for me, then you're not willing to pay the price of freedom. It's that simple. And this is a small price to pay versus the 3,500 American troops that died at the Battle of the Bulge in the Ardennes in Belgium when evil decided to have one last gasp against the Allied forces in December of 1944. When 3,500 Americans in the Ardennes thought they were going to have a nice, quiet Christmas. Because no way would the Germans be so stupid and foolish to advance the 6th Division of Panzer Tanks in northwest Germany to Belgium. No way would they do that because they were getting pressure from both the East and the West. And tens of thousands of American troops, as the calendar started to get towards early January, early December, and then December 10th rolled around, they thought that they were going to kind of get lucky. And then Hitler, who was a drug addict, decided to deploy his Panzer Division in the middle of winter. In a surprise and stunning move of events, aided by air cover, he was actually immediately very successful. His strategy was to try to go and reclaim Antwerp, which was a critical port for the Allied forces. At the Battle of the Bulge, the 101st American Division of the U.S. Army held the line. 400 incredible heroes held the line against pure evil. I'm not asking you to do that. When 3,000 plus Americans died or suffered unspeakable injuries. Not asking you to do that. And it wasn't until General George Patton came in with 200,000 Allied reinforcements, the air cover started to fade, the clouds went away, and the 6th Division of the Panzer Tank Division of the Wehrmacht met their ultimate demise and were slaughtered by Allied forces. That's a tough December, okay? I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not asking you to go to the Ardennes and to hold down a city against the most sophisticated, mechanically advanced army that's pathologically driven. Not asking you to do that. And I use that graphic example for a reason. Because sacrifices were made then so that all of a sudden you can have the freedom and luxury to have Thanksgiving. Oh, wait, you can't have Thanksgiving anymore. Why? because we were protected and given a gift by a generation that stormed the beaches of Normandy, that did bombing raids all across continental Europe, where 60% of British Expeditionary Force bombers never saw a return. 60%. We were handed a gift by the greatest generation that understood what it meant to sacrifice. And yes, it's cliche, and yes, people talk about it a lot. And if you don't understand the significance of it, then spend your Christmas and spend your Thanksgiving sitting down, and instead of watching the latest comedy that has no value whatsoever, go through Hulu or Netflix or whatever your provider is on YouTube or whatever, and go watch a couple hours of the actual footage of what the heroes of World War II did to face absolute evil and win. So we were given a gift by all of them. And that gift was civil society. That natural rights would be protected. That we wouldn't be lied to by a political class. And over the last couple decades, we got very lazy and sloppy. The left didn't. The left enacted the long march through the institutions. Churches started being corrupted. Academia fell from grace. And now we are living in America that, quite honestly, we deserve. So now's our opportunity. I'm not asking you to storm the beaches of Normandy, nor am I making a moral equivalency to it. Nor am I making a moral equivalency to the type of heroism that that would be. I'm simply asking you, if you're a small business owner, open your small business. If you're a pastor, open your church. If you're a parishioner, demand your church opens or find a new church. They can't arrest all of us. They can't. They can't force us into submission. They can't suffocate our freedom. And if they do, then we'll be the last generation ever to call ourselves Americans. I'm not willing to do that. And so that's what I mean by civil disobedience. Problems that are not confronted multiply. That which is good, which is not defended, shatters. Disobey. Rise up. Don't let them tell you how to live your life. Top Resume is the world's number one authority on resume writing. How many of you are saying, I just want a job, but I just keep on getting rejected? Well, I could tell you, as someone who employs hundreds and hundreds of people and someone who has actually rejected thousands and thousands of more, a resume makes a really big difference. So get serious about this. Recruiters and other hiring managers, such as myself, lean on tech solutions to scan resumes for picks. Do you know that a resume can make or break your entire career? So who do you turn for feedback on your resume? Some people turn to their parents and maybe their grandparents. That's fine. But how about resume experts? Go to the pros to get the job done right. Don't leave it to chance. Let the experts at Top Resume work with you to create a job-winning resume that gets noticed. Find out how your resume stacks up. Go to topresume.com/Kirk to get a free resume review. It's as simple as uploading your resume to their site, and you'll get a free evaluation and expert advice on how to make it stronger. Top Resume is also giving my listeners 15% off their professional resume writing services. So go to topresume.com/Kirk today for your comprehensive resume review and 15% off resume writing services if you want to work with a pro. That's topresume.com/Kirk, topresume.com/Kirk. Get a job at topresume.com/Kirk. It'll make that easier. Hey, Charlie, Christmas is coming up, and I want to help some of my more left-leaning family members become more enlightened on conservative values and why they're right for America. What are 5 books you would recommend I could give them for Christmas to help them see the light? Claire in Ames, Iowa. Well, look, I would dive deeper into philosophy. It depends how willing they are to actually read and dive into these ideas. I would recommend a couple books. I would recommend The Coddling of the American Mind is a phenomenal book. I would recommend Discrimination and Disparities by Thomas Sowell. I would recommend Capitalism and Freedom by Milton Friedman. And then a more heady one that, quite honestly, is one that can kind of show you what happens if we don't confront evil is The Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. That's a tougher read. It's headier. It's more philosophical. But it's critically important. Some other books as well that I would recommend kind of more in the modern era. I love The Book That Built Your World by Vishal Mangalwaldi. It's a phenomenal book that I highly, highly recommend. I always mention this book, and no, he does not pay me royalties because he's an absolute jerk to me. But despite him actually being a jerk, despite him being a very nasty person, I'm going to keep on plugging his book because it's actually a really good piece of literature. Liberal Fascism by Jonah Goldberg is one of the best pieces of literature in the modern era. There's also some other good ones. I have to say Ben Shapiro's Right Side of History is just a well crafted piece of literature for those of you that might be in the middle. But that segues to a bigger point. Don't be afraid to learn. Dive deep into the ideas. Know who Hobbes, Locke, Rousseau, and Montesquieu is. Know who Voltaire is. Know who Kant is. Know who Adam Smith is. And if you don't, that's okay. Just dive deeper into the literature that built Western civilization that is trying to destroy Western civilization. Because this struggle goes all the way back to Plato versus Aristotle. It goes back to, should human beings have private property or not? Are human beings flawed by nature or not? These questions have always been presented to philosophers and to thinkers and to writers. We are not the first generation to encounter this sequence of questioning. But how we reason, how we come across these ideas is so critically important. And people say, what do I do? What do I do? The more you learn, the deeper that you dive into literature and into lectures, the more clarity you will be presented with in a sea of confusion. So I hope that helps, Claire. Thanks for listening. This question is from Marcus Isaacson. Hey, my name is Mike Marcus and I live in Sweden. I really hope Trump wins this. Me too. Our socialist media in Sweden does nothing but mock and write bad things about Trump. Some of us know better, though. We as Swedes are totally brainwashed by the media, but slowly are waking up, thank God. My question is, if Trump loses, can he run for a second term later in life, in 4 years perhaps? Best regards. Yes, Marcus, he can. But Marcus, I want to compliment your socialist country. You guys understand individual liberty a lot better than we do here. Now, I have read articles that Sweden might be locking down again. However, at the recording of this podcast, you guys have still handled the Chinese coronavirus far better than we have in our country. I have a lot of respect for Swedes. I do. In Sweden, they have absolute and total school choice. They have less business regulation than we do in our country. I don't like the way you guys do healthcare at all whatsoever. I don't like the way you don't respect individual rights and freedom. And I certainly don't like the lack of free speech in your country. However, I am a big fan of the Swedish work ethic and the belief in community. Not a big believer in some of the lack of religiosity that has seeped into Sweden or some of your relaxed immigration policies. But I hope to visit Sweden. I really do. I want to visit all of the Baltic states. For those of you that don't know what the Baltic states are, it's Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, which are the four Baltic states. And it's right, of course, near the Baltic Sea. And there's a lot of people in our country that come from Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Denmark. Mostly Norway, Sweden, and Finland. They mostly actually came through North Dakota, Minnesota, through Chicago, and immigrated north from there. And that's why, actually, they are called the Minnesota Vikings. It's a fun fact for today. There's actually, I could give a whole podcast on how sports teams got their names. Sports teams are rarely ever named by mistake. You guys probably know this one, San Francisco 49ers, the 49 Gold Rush. The Los Angeles Lakers. Why on earth would we call the Los Angeles Lakers? Ah, because they used to be in, that's right, Minnesota. The land of 10,000 lakes, the Chicago Bulls and the Chicago Bears. Of course, it's the Chicago Stock Exchange, Mercantile Exchange, Bulls and Bears markets. What on earth is the New York Mets? Metropolitans, the metropolitan life. What is a Yankee? Well, we all know what a Yankee is if you study the Civil War. Critically important to the history of what a Yankee is in our country. I could go chapter and verse through exactly how teams got their names. I think it's super interesting. Miami Dolphins, I think that one is pretty patently obvious. Houston Texans, not a lot of explanation. I have to go there. Dallas Cowboys, also very easy. How about the Seattle Supersonics when they used to exist? Well, Boeing is headquartered in Seattle, so that makes a lot of sense. St. Louis Cardinals, I actually don't know that one. I have no idea why. How about the Portland Trailblazers? By the way, I'm doing this all on the cuff. For those of you that might think I'm reading some sort of screen, I'm literally looking at my Apple Maps and just going through kind of, I'm just super interested in sports names and how they came about. Portland Trailblazers, of course, Lewis and Clark and Trailblazers that went west on the Oregon Trail. That's how they got their names. Colorado Rockies, not a lot of explanation I think that's needed for that one. Denver Nuggets, you say, what on earth is that? Nuggets of gold that were actually named after the gold rush that happened throughout the Colorado Rockies. The production team said, what about the Cleveland Browns? If my memory serves me correctly, that was the name of the owner of the team back when they were first chartered. Am I right? I'm right. Very good. And so I have no idea how we started talking about different sports names, but that's the beauty of an Ask Me Anything episode. Oh yeah, it's because of the Swedes, Vikings, Swedish, and that's how we got the Trailblazers. And that's why we love your questions at freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom at charliekirk.com. Hey, Charlie, would you rather travel 100 years in the past or 100 years into the future? What would you do once you got there? Michaela, super interesting question. It depends if I could come back, because I would actually rather live in the present. Probably if I could come back, I would be either fascinated or horrified to see the future, to be honest with you, to see what America and what the world looks like in the next 100 years. I'm actually thinking about, for my next book, I'm wrestling around. It's either going to be a book indicting college, Don't Go, The Case Against Going to College, which is a book that needs to be written. But very similar to the treatise of, or the book, The Last of the Mohicans, I was thinking of writing The Last Americans. Now, it's super provocative, obviously. I get to see Media Matters scrambling on their Thanksgiving Day weekend, writing about how I dare compare Native American slaughter to The Last of the Americans, which I actually think works. The reason that I think it's interesting is, will the American experiment continue? And for those of you that are 13, 14, 15, 16, listening to this podcast right now, and our generation that are millennials and Gen Z, it is entirely possible that we might be the last generation that calls ourselves Americans. It is. We are closer to the brink than ever before. And the question is, how do we reverse it? We build up new institutions, we support the good guys, and defend them against attacks. That's how. The question of would I rather go in the future or the past? The past, I think, would be kind of meaningless, quite honestly, unless I could impact it. Unless it was some form of a Terminator scene where I could go back and prevent John Connor from being murdered. By the way, I saw the most recent Terminator movie and not a fan. That's all I have to say. Love Terminator 1 and I love Terminator 2 because I think Terminator 2 is actually where we're headed. And so going in the past, going in the future, I'd like to see what's coming next, but it would actually kind of horrify me. I would much rather go hundreds and hundreds of years in the past before that. If I could just be a witness to one period of time, it's when Julius Caesar transitioned the Roman Republic to the Roman Empire, had a relationship with Cleopatra, won the Roman Civil War, unified the Roman Empire, and really laid the groundwork for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from coming here on earth. I think that would be a fascinating time to actually see. I love Roman history. We could do a whole podcast on that at some point. Thank you guys for emailing us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Any questions you guys have about anything or feedback, I read every email, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to be very clear. I don't respond to every email. I've gotten some accusations about that, of people being upset that I don't respond. Okay, it's very hard to respond to hundreds of thousands of emails, but I do my best. I do read them all, though. freedom@charliekirk.com. And please consider supporting our hardest working podcast on the planet, charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. We play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war. Thank you guys so much for listening. God bless you, and speak to you soon.